our sports time out. Happy Friday.
It's the My Michelle Live podcast.
My Michelle Live. My Michelle Live. Sports time out. The fans, the field, the faith, the fun. Here's Michelle.
Oh, wait,
sports
but
fans,
more.
The most chillin' villain, Chris Brown. Author, photographer, Brent R. Baker. Get ready to get panged. Encyclopedia Rich. Wookiee of the Year, Josh McMillan. From the My Michelle Live podcasts, here's Michelle.
Here I am. Well, a couple of the guys can't be with us today. Chris Brown is MIA, and that's why we call him a villain today. But Josh has a great excuse. Congratulations, Joshua McMillan. I keep texting him, hoping that maybe he can pop on for a moment to show off his newest team member, and that is his brand new baby born yesterday. Little, and it's no April Fool, believe me. Georgia was 7 pounds, 11 ounces, and this chubby, chunky little dark hair everywhere baby, just absolutely gorgeous. So congratulations, Joshua, and congratulations you for finding our sports timeout, because it's time for, wait for it, sports!
Go Mariners!
Walk off.
And there they are, out of control as always. But this is where I want to start off, fellas. It's opening day, and all of us have a Seattle tie, and it seems like all of us in one way or another have are sporting our own Seattle Mariners stuff. Let's get ready.
I don't believe it. It just continues. My, oh my.
Yeah, if you're not from Seattle, you're like, what's all that about? Doesn't matter. It's opening day for everybody. There's been some hits, some misses, and some big surprises. Look, guys, as you're watching, you have your own MLB team, and that's good. We have a Seattle connection, and boy, do we have an underdog. It puts it in perspective as we encroach, boys, on a brand new 2021 season with baseball. You know, the Seattle Supersonics, they used to be NBA team in Seattle, for those of you who don't know. We're in the playoffs and championships last, before the Mariners. The Mariners, you know, right? I mean, it just puts it in perspective when you think about it that way. I saw that reminder on Facebook,
let me pull the knife out.
In fairness, the Sonics haven't won a game in like 12 years. So
there you go.
Yeah, and so you know what? The Mariners haven't been in the playoffs, but the Seattle Sounders have for the last 13 years. So, yeah. But it's a new
for those
year.
Who don't. It's a for new those who dog, don't know the history. It's a new day. Our basketball team was stolen and taken away to Oklahoma.
Moment of silence. All right, so this year it's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new year. Guys, what about the Mariners yesterday?
Eight walks, more walks than a Chinese restaurant in Seattle last night.
Oh, that's bad.
I don't think that's okay anymore.
I feel Asian hated. I can't believe you just said that. That was good, though.
Well, Marco Gonzalez needed every one of those walks in the end, because he had a hard time getting the high strike, and he was having a real hard time locating his pitches. Probably his worst performance as a Mariners starting pitcher. But once again, the patience of the Mariners. Down 5-0 after 7 innings, and that's what you gotta do.
Unbelievable! Let's just stop right there, Rich, because you're getting ahead of the news story, which is that the Mariners were able to pull off a win in the end.
Yes, and one other thing, Sports Encyclopedia Rich will bring this up. Mariners now 5-1 in extra inning games on opening day.
Wow.
Wow.
That's a good trivia. Go ahead, Brent.
I was saying, I wasn't able to tune in until I think it was the eighth inning. They were still down. They're still down. And I was like, I'll just catch the end of the game, see what happens this opening day. And there were a lot of walks handed out by Giants relief pitchers at the end. But, one of the things that the Mariners have emphasized in the past few years in their minor league development is what they called controlling the zone, controlling the strike zone as batters. And they did that. And I tell you, I think, there are two things. I mean, there was Dylan Moore's, two-run double, which was a huge hit. But I thought like the key at bat for the game was a guy making his major league debut.
Oh man.
Taylor Trammell, who, the Mariners got in a trade last summer. First game, and you're up there. It was like a 2-2 count and taking pitches close to the zone that a lot of guys would try to jump on and probably ground out. And he worked it for a walk. But my goodness, what an at bat for a kid in his first major league game. And I thought that really set up everything that followed. And it made it really tough for those relief pitchers that were struggling anyway, knowing that you got guys who aren't going to go after those pitches off the plate that can be really tempting. In the end, they gave up a game tying home run in the ninth, but ended up winning the game again on a walk off walk.
Yeah,
the guy who goes, who was it? Help me out. Who was it?
It was Jake Fraley that got
Jake
the
Fraley,
final,
yeah.
Got the so final
he
had, walk.
He didn't get a hit in the game, but he got hit by a pitch and walked three times. So that's how you win.
Yeah,
that is how you win, by doing the small things. And I've talked to a number of baseball players in covering the Mariner team in the past, and I've always asked them the question, is a walk as good as a hit? And that was the perfect example of a walk being as good as a hit last night, because without any one of those walks, that Mariner comeback stalls.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. I had a similar experience to you, Brent. I was playing soccer last night and I, on my way home, I switched the news on and the game wasn't on the news channel. And they said, yeah, the Mariners are struggling a little bit. They're trailing by quite a bit, and it was like the sixth inning or something. And so I get home, I switch the game on and thinking, okay, well, I'm just gonna watch a replay of how we lost, right? And
because we're used
winning
to that.
And so that's the nice thing about I DVR all the games, and so then I backed up a couple of innings and I'm like, oh boy, this is going to be really fun to watch. And,
guys, and a confession here to my brothers. I was watching the game and I kind of zoned out. I'm like, okay, well, another season. There you go. I didn't mean to be a fair weather fan, but, it was just like, again. And then I didn't find out till after the game. And I was like, oh, man. I wasn't going to admit it, but
naughty,
I just did.
Naughty.
There you go.
So if you were at the game live, are you one of those people who would have gotten cold and said, let's get out of here when we're down 6-1 in the eighth?
No, I just go over to Eggers probably. And hang out with the other folks ignoring the game. Or can you even do that anymore? Is there even I know that, everyone's all segmented, and that to me is really sad. I'm glad that we're going.
It was crazy. Nobody was even, there were such huge gaps. It's one thing to socially distance, but it's another thing to like have an empty stadium with a few seats in it.
Well, that's always been the case recently for the Mariners, though. Ouch.
I will say it was nice to have authentic crowd noise on the TV broadcast. Oh. I mean, it sounded like, I give the pit fans that were there credit, it sounded like more than 8,000 something fans there. But just having authentic crowd noise and authentic responses to what was going on, it just, I know I've been excited about this baseball season just because I see what the Mariners having come up, and this is going to be a season of growth and I'm sure some challenges, but just having baseball back in its full form with people there, it's just, it feels like a spring that's a little bit more refreshing than most.
Yeah. So, Michelle, should we do Mariner predictions right now since we're fired up about the Mariners' first game? I think this would be about the proper time to do Mariner predictions.
Oh my gosh, you really want to do that? I mean, how do you?
Yeah, but write them down and replay them in October.
Yeah, we'll see. My prediction is we'll see. You know, I've been down this road too many times. Yawn. Come on.
But are you a politician? Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh. There must be something in Michelle's water today. Non-committal.
Yeah, well, you know, come on. How long have I been watching the Mariners since, you know, I've been a Mariners fan and going to games since I could walk. My dad would take me to games, and I got kind of fat in elementary school because my dad was not a Mariners fan. He was a Yankees fan. And he, every time we went to a game and the Yankees, or we watch a game and the Yankees won, I would get a banana split. So, you know, my mom noted that, and somewhere along the line she said, you got to do that for the Mariners, and I got back into shape pretty quickly. So
oh my.
No, true story.
Beat the Yankees, huh?
oh my goodness.
Wow.
Although even in those days the Mariners actually did pretty well against the Yankees head to head. So that
traditionally, yeah, you know, we haven't had, honestly, you know, they haven't been a completely losing team. We just don't know what a playoff looks like. We think the season ends in September, right?
That's my prediction. September. Mariners make the playoffs. But that's as far as I go.
I'm going to say, Garrick, that they come up just short, because the one major thing that the Mariners need to improve, the bullpen. And I'm just not sure about the whole bullpen. The San Francisco bullpen from last night reminded me of possibly what the Seattle bullpen could look like on a regular basis this year. But I'm going to say Mariners just missed the playoffs, but a very, very improved team, 88-74.
Right.
I'm not quite as optimistic about this year as far as their record goes. I think if they hit 500 this year, it's going to be a big success. There's just so many young players, and expecting all of them to perform well at the major league level already, it may be a bit much. I think there'll be some great successes and some surprises. And I think there are going to be some guys that show they're not quite ready. And I think it will set the stage for a great run here in the next few years, but I don't think they're quite ready to make the playoffs yet.
It's maybe a building year. I think it may be a building year, to be honest. You know, I wanted to ask you guys what you thought it must be like for some of the fans, like the Red Sox that were taking on the Orioles and their season opener, their home opener. That was postponed due to rain. The Nationals, New York Mets matchup in D.C. postponed due to COVID-19 issues. Can you imagine? You wait all this year. Finally, it's opening day, and then boom, you're shut down. That's got to stink.
Well, it's going to be the series between the Nationals and the Mets has been officially postponed, so they're going to have to reschedule that. So I think this is just something we're going to have to deal with. And I think Major League Baseball has the plans. At least I hope Rob Manfred finally has the plans in place to negotiate an entire 162-game season, but we'll have to see.
Yeah,
There's more wiggle room than there was a year ago, because when you were trying to get all those games into just a 2-month window, and the virus was a lot more active at that point. I think that's why it's, I had mixed feelings about the 7-inning doubleheader rules and stuff. And I think that's why that's a good idea, is because you still have, the virus is still there. There are still going to be some of these things, but at least you have 6 months now to fit these games in instead of two.
Yeah, there you go. I want to move on to basketball. Anyone else just jazzed about Gonzaga? I mean, and, you know, we're getting down to the Final Four. So no matter where you're at and who you're rooting for, it's been kind of exciting this year, kind of watching some of those matchups. Oregon is out, and we in my household were kind of lamenting that a little bit, how it all shook down. And, you know, I'm coming from a Northwest attitude. So what say you guys?
Well,
go ahead, Garrick.
I think that Gonzaga just looks so, I mean, they're a well-oiled machine, and I don't think that they're going to be stopped. I mean, obviously anything can happen, and it's important that you take it one game at a time, as the old saying goes, and there's only two left, but I think that this is the year for Gonzaga. If they don't win, I think it will be a great disappointment.
Rich?
Yeah. Gonzaga will be the national champion because they will be the second team to have an undefeated season since 1976 and Bobby Knight and the Indiana Hoosiers. Gonzaga is the best team in American basketball, period. Any college level. The only team that can stay with them or even has a chance to upset them, I believe, is Baylor. Baylor's the only one that's been just as consistent or just about as consistent, and they've dealt with some COVID issues throughout the season down there in Texas. And I think that's going to be your final. It'll be Baylor and Gonzaga in the final. Gonzaga wins by 10.
Yeah, I think the only team beating Gonzaga is Gonzaga. Baylor is good enough to beat them if Gonzaga shows up and doesn't play their A game. I'm kind of wishing, because Gonzaga and Baylor were supposed to play each other back in December, and it was COVID that postponed that game. And even back then, people were predicting that could be a national championship preview. And here we are, one game away from that. The other thing about the tournament, I know it's been talked about quite a bit, but the Pac-12's performance has been great, and seeing kind of the rebirth of at least the reputation in men's basketball has been good. It also brings in a lot of money that just a few weeks ago I was reading about the performance of the Pac-12 network, TV network, and how much less money than what our old punching bag Larry Scott had promised that would
bring
in.
The Larry Scott curse has been lifted.
Still talking about it.
Yeah. But the money that the conference brings in and then gets distributed to the schools will actually make up a lot of ground from what that fallen short expectation. And, you know, they won't have the national champion. I mean, UCLA, sorry. But to have UCLA and Oregon State, and USC performed so well. And, you know, I think Colorado, you know, they played hours after there was a mass shooting in the town that their campus
was on. That was sad.
And it was really sad. And I know that, I don't know if it impacted the outcome of their game, but it clearly impacted the guys on that team. So, but the way the Pac-12 has come forth and watching them beat the Big Ten teams and the ACC teams and the Big 12 teams head to head, it's been pretty sweet.
I want to talk about something that I love to watch when I watch Gonzaga. Zags have this thing called teamwork. And I love that. Oftentimes on this show, we go a little bit deeper and we talk about a deeper story. Sports being kind of an analogy for life, something we can learn from. When you see that kind of teamwork, but also the celebration of individuals, you know, their own little what we do after I make a basket or their own personal style, all of that's really fun to watch. But when it comes to being on the court, individuality is great, but they also play as a team. You can watch some of their setups and go, whoa. Oh, that's so fine. And I love that. To me, that is just the beauty. There's differing colors, differing countries, differing parts of the world, customs that are all represented on that team. But the excellence comes from not pretending like they don't exist, but welcoming them in, celebrating them, and making it part of your team. There you go. That's the deeper story to the basketball story as we get down to the Final Four. You mentioned, Brent R. Baker, that money is they're making a lot of money. And that ties into a big news story dealing with athlete compensation. Garrick, you've been following that much?
I have not.
Okay. Okay, never mind.
Well, yeah, I think what you know, there's a lot of ways this can pan out. I think I have really mixed feelings about doing much other than beyond scholarships as far as direct payments to athletes. I can understand the need for maybe some stipends, because a lot of the rules prevent guys from holding jobs, mm-hmm. not to mention the time involved with being a Division I athlete. However, the inability of these athletes to make any money off of their own names and likenesses and stuff, that I really feel needs to be changed. Because if you're in school studying to be a concert violinist, you can do that. Any other profession, mm-hmm. you're in school, you have the right to make money off of your skill and your gift. And the athletes at this point do not. And so that I do believe.
Discrimination. It's just discrimination, outright inequality, discrimination. It is not okay. You know, and when you have people making millions upon millions off of these guys, it and gals, it kind of resembles slave labor to a degree. If they're not able to at least find some kind of compensation, you know, or have some kind of equality, Rich.
Well, this is where we go back to the basic NCAA rules. Under current NCAA rules, a student athlete is not allowed to work during the school year or during their competitive season. So you cannot have a situation where an athlete is unable to work and then cannot benefit from their name, image, and likeness. And that is why Mark Emmert met with several players to discuss that and some other issues, which I know was what you were relating to this week, Michelle. And that is going to be the number one issue that gets settled, the name, image, and likeness issue, and how an athlete can use that to their advantage if they're not able to work. You can't have the rules the way they are. You either have to allow an athlete to work or they have to benefit from their name, image, and likeness.
Yeah. Because can't have it both ways. Hey, I'm going to interrupt really quick because whoever is letting folks in, Joshua McMillan is going to be joining us for just a few moments. And we have to give him a big congratulations. So just keep your eye out for that. You're right.
We have to give him at least a minute on his Mariners as well.
Yes. Of course. Of course. Now, while we're still talking about basketball, there are some other issues that have popped up concerning the NBA, the NCAA, and the Arizona Wildcats not so happy about the NCAA Women's Final Four promotional video.
Wow.
Who wants to take that on?
You want me to tell this story real quick?
Yeah.
Barnes, the head coach at Arizona, and her team not very happy this morning. Because apparently the video editor who works for the NCAA women's tournament forgot to include the Arizona Wildcats in the first edit of the promotional video to highlight the women's basketball tournament. Completely forgot the team. Three of the four teams were listed, but Arizona was not.
So what was that? Do they not like Arizona? Was it just a mistake? Do we need to get upset about it? Do we need to cry foul? What's going on?
Well, I wouldn't necessarily cry foul, but this is definitely somebody not doing their job, and they should be fired for this. Because if this happened to the men's tournament, that person would be fired.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, things like that do happen, but as you were saying, Rich, that's
a professional mistake.
There's four teams. Okay, it's not like you're down to the Sweet 16 and you got to include each one and you accidentally leave one out. If there's four teams and you leave one out, a head has to roll. I'm sorry.
Yeah. And let's put congratulations on Adia Barnes, former member of the Seattle Storm, won a championship with the Storm. Her alma mater, Arizona, in the Final Four for the very first time. She's done an outstanding job of coaching this year. Brent?
Oh, I was just going to reiterate what Gareth said. It's like if you're doing a video with all 64 teams at the start or 32, you could miss something very easily. But yeah, when you have four, it's like especially I think if there was a bias here, it's because you've got teams like UConn and Stanford that's what everybody knows. So that's what everybody wants to see. It's probably innocent, but it's quite incompetent. And so, at least a reassignment to less, less public duties.
Maybe really Larry Scott.
I think it's the going. It's the going way for media. Media does not do its job anymore. So, you know, why are we surprised? All the way around. There's one of my rants for the day.
Maybe it's like Jimmy Kimmel, who likes to say that Gonzaga doesn't exist. Maybe that's, you know, maybe there's a women's equivalent.
Well, you know, his show doesn't exist if you look at the ratings.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Well, Zigger. All right, shall we soccer, folks? I am so bummed. The United States did not qualify for the Olympics. The United States men's team will not
soccer.
Be in. Yes. Yeah, it's soccer. Well, that's why I said let's move on to soccer. Will not be in the Olympics. And you know what also kind of I wanted to take on as well? What is it? Over a half dozen guys on the U.S. men's national team would qualify for the Olympics, but they aren't being released by their teams, their EuroLeague teams or whatever, because it's not FIFA. And I think that's just really sad because they would qualify. Maybe that would have put us over the top. And yet, you know, well, that's what you get when you sign a contract. But I don't know. They get released to play on the U.S. men's national team. You know,
so this is something I have been paying attention to. Okay.
Okay. There you go. Now we got him. Welcome back to the pack.
Let's get panged.
Yes, Reverend. Yes, Reverend. Wow us with your wisdom.
Well, where do I go from there? But let me just clarify, because I don't think everyone is a soccer fan. And so the way that we have, I know.
Where did that come from?
Well, anyway, I won't even go there. But the U.S. men's national team, which is the team that represents us in all the FIFA competitions, there is
we have a Wookiee sighting.
Oh, woo-hoo! Okay, we have to take it.
Yeah, we have to go. We have to do a quick break to the Wookiee. Ladies and gentlemen, he is the Wookiee of sports, seriously. And he has a really big announcement. His team has just gotten a little bit bigger.
Let's Wookiee of the Year, Josh McMillan.
Yes, he is procreating. So we have a little mini Wookiee. Congratulations, Josh.
Thank you. No sneak peeks today. I'm out running errands for the one that gave the birth, but we'll get her on here when we can.
Congratulations.
Yes.
Congratulations, sir.
To your family and to your Mariners. We've already talked about the Mariners, but you get your 1 minute.
Oh, 1 minute, we'll time that's you. All I get?
Yep, that's all you get.
What?
Hey, that's,
we'll give you a minute and a half.
That's
we'll
what happens when you haven't made the playoffs for 20 years.
I'll take the time I want to. Thank you very much. it was great, actually. They won the game right as we were pulling away from the hospital. I got to watch. It was a great day. We had the baby. Then right after we had the baby, we settled in and turned on opening day and got to watch the Mariners.
You're bringing her up right.
Yeah, exactly. So opening day win for the Mariners in overtime. I mean, extra innings there. That was a good day. You know, I was just happy it was opening day. But then for them to win it, I know they won it for Georgia because it was her birthday. So they had to pull that one out for her. So I appreciate that. Thank you, Mariners. And what a fun game, too. I think the thing I liked most about this Mariners game was, again, this is a young team that looked so professional and so clean. I mean, to win on a walk-off walk with a young team like this, that just shows the discipline that they have. You know, they're not making a lot of mistakes. Marco Gonzalez, unfortunately, you know, he's not a flamethrower. His game is command, and he didn't have his command. And so he let off some runs that, you know, usually you don't see. He let off 3 home runs all last season. He gave up 7 home runs. So it's really not a typical outing for Marco Gonzalez. That was disappointing to see, but our bullpen really stepped up. We saw some good things come from them, and we saw a lot of our young guys play really, really good baseball out there. Taylor Trammell, too. I mean, this is his first game, and he really wanted a hit. You could tell. But even then, he stayed disciplined. He stepped off some really tough pitches. there was a couple of sliders away that he didn't swing at that were right on the edge. He just had a great eye for, kept his discipline, got a walk, and that was a big part of that comeback win late in the game. So I loved what I saw out of this game. I know Marco's going to come back to form. And, you know, I do credit Gausman, though, for keeping this lineup, this potent lineup, pretty down for a good portion of that game. I think it was 6 innings and 1 run. So he pitched really well. But we saw that, you know, we can bounce back. They stayed in the game. They kept themselves in it. And they gave me a good present for my baby's birthday.
Yay. Hey, Josh, with your permission, I have a picture pulled up of this absolutely gorgeous beyond compare baby. Can I show her? And can you give us your best sports play-by-play on her delivery?
Well, you know, in terms of there was labor happening for 3 days of, you know, cramps, and we were trying to do a home birth, and man, it was just, it got to the point where after, you know, only a couple hours of sleep over almost a week happening, we were, you know, we were tired, and Alyssa just didn't want to do it. So we went to the hospital, we got an epidural, and, you know, we were at the hospital for, I would say it was maybe like 8 hours before we started actually doing the pushing. And, you know, once we started doing, and, you know, pain was all gone with the epidural. Once we did the pushing, she could have gotten it done in 5 minutes. But it took about 20, 25 minutes for the actual, you know, active pushing labor to go through. And she popped right out. Happy, healthy, perfect baby.
Yay. How long is she? Awesome. I know she's like 7 pounds, 11 ounces. How long?
7'11". I don't recall the length off the top of my head. So sorry.
Okay.
We'll get that one later.
My brain's only
half working right now. You have to understand.
Yeah, I bet.
I still haven't caught up on sleep. We just got home from the hospital last night at, somewhere between 11 and midnight last night we got home, which we're happy about, though, because thankfully we had our midwife with us, and we got really lucky. The registered nurse is like, hey, you know what? I used to be a midwife. I work with midwives. As long as she's able to come to your 24-hour checkup, you guys can go home tonight. You don't have to stay here for a whole day.
Sweet.
So we got to go home to our own beds last night. Our daughter and the puppy, which you are all familiar with, Clementine, also got to meet her, and they're all very excited. So.
Yes. And I see that I'll give a pass because this was at the hospital, but I did send you guys a proper Seahawks outfit for a baby. So I'll expect to see her in that soon. You got to get her in the game, man. You got to get her in the game. Let's start early, right?
Yep. Well, she'll have her Seahawks and her Mariners gear on soon. Don't worry.
I'm just surprised you didn't send a Sounders jersey.
Oh, no, that's definite, too. But, you know, Josh and I go way back with watching Seahawks together. So that had to be first. Josh, I know you got to check out here. But, hey, congratulations to you, your wife, and welcome, baby Georgia.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Love it. Now, Garrick, back to our regularly scheduled program as we're talking about soccer. We're talking about the U.S. men's national team and the national team that did not qualify for the Olympics. So, oh, that's cute.
George, so I was laughing about.
Yeah, you have to watch the video if you're just listening. You can go to My Michelle Live and you can see our antics as well as watch them. But as I had mentioned before, many of the players on the men's national team would have qualified to play on the Olympic team, but they weren't released. And you said you've put some thoughts into that.
Yeah, well, so for those who non-soccer fans or newer to soccer, it can be very confusing because we have our U.S. men's national team. They compete in all the FIFA events. But then we also have different levels, as all countries do, in terms of like an under 23 team, under 21 team, under 19 teams, things at different levels. We have different teams that compete. And so the team that competes for the Olympics is actually the under 23 team. Mm-hmm. And the United States is actually, our soccer is in a very good place on the world stage in terms of the fact that we have players playing all over the globe with different clubs at a very high level. And so that's the good news. Now, the bad news is that gets the under 23 team gets plucked. Okay. So we have under 23 players who are playing up with the U.S. men's national team. We have under 23 players who are playing, as you mentioned, Michelle, in Europe in different places. And if the players on those teams, their national team is playing in a FIFA match, then the clubs are required to release those players so that they can play in play for their national team. However, it does not apply to the Olympics. And so we had some players who were not released by their clubs to be able to play on that. And it's, I mean, it is really a credit to our U.S. men's soccer system, and our women's soccer system as well is excellent. But the fact that we have this caliber of these caliber of players, but it's really unfortunate because this is, I'll defer to Encyclopedia Rich for the exact number, but I believe we have not made the Olympics since what year? It was 2008, I think.
Yes, that's exactly right. 2008.
And we have missed the Olympics, what, four out of the last five or something that like that?
That is correct, sir.
Yeah, and so
four out of the last painful five Olympics. Yes,
it's incredibly disappointing, especially knowing that our team's not good enough, but it's just that the way that things worked out, it's kind of a perfect storm for it to be a bit of a mess.
Brent, do you think that it makes the teams that don't release them look a little miserly, or do the optics just not matter?
Well, I think the optics matter, but I think that there is an aspect here of the U.S. still not quite operating the way the world stage does operate with soccer, because we're so used to, you know, the NBA, baseball, NFL, they're American originated sports. The leagues popped up here. And so as far as how it works globally, it's all kind of pretty much based on a U.S. system. Or if it's not based on a U.S. system, it's secondary to the U.S. system. With soccer, that's not the same. This is a world, you know, a system FIFA has developed really independently of us. And we've been kind of playing catch up to fit into that system as well as develop our talent. So as Garrick said, I think it's great that we've got talent now that are playing on European clubs. But I think that figuring out how to make our players available at the times when we need them, we don't do that well. If you look at the way the MLS is, how many times have we seen the Sounders enter into a great game, you know, an important game? It's like, oh, Ruy Diaz has been recalled to his national team. Yeah. And it's just like, that's just part of it. And so
it is. And going, it's frustrating for us when we have to watch that. Of course it is. But then it's exciting
the other direction at this point. And that's either we need to find a way to change that, or we need to find a way to work around that fact.
Rich?
Garrick, I have a question that leads from that subject. What does this say about the U.S. Soccer Federation that they can't get this done, or that they don't have the pull to get this done?
Yeah, I think there's another conversation there to be had, just with regard to how you're making it happen. And of course, you do have some responsibility bears on the coach as well. And so it's very complicated. Unfortunately, it's not a simple situation. And, you know, it was an unfortunate goal that we gave up when our keeper kicked the ball into the back of one of the forwards as he was trying to distribute it out to one of his defenders. And, you know, so that is practically an own goal. And so, you know, when little things like that happen in a game and you end up losing, it kind of makes you, because a lot of times everyone says the sky is falling, but there's also just little things sometimes that happen that create it. And if it didn't happen, it wouldn't be a story at all. Right. And so it's kind of like, you know, on an NFL team, when you're very close to making the playoffs and the quarterback makes a long bomb and the wide receiver, it gets, you would have won the game, you would have been in the playoffs, and But instead, everything goes negative, right? Mm-hmm. And so often that happens in sports where things can be okay. Now, again, the 4 out of 5 misses is something to be discussed, but I don't know. It is tough, and sports is business too. And so there's a lot of factors.
There it is. And we're just bemoaning that the U.S.'s men's soccer team is not going to be in the Olympics. Guys, I just need to take one moment out. Too bad it wasn't while Josh was here, because he and Brent especially will benefit from this.
From Wild Scrapbrush
to Gentlemen Refined Stash Wax. From Real Bearded Men at MyMichelleLive.com.
It's for you Real Bearded Men. We have the best deals. You just go to MyMichelleLive.com. You can click the link on the Real Bearded Men link and use promo code MyMichelleLive to get the best deals and to look so fine, because she likes it. She just wants it under control, right? It just makes sense to me. So there you go. Another one of our sponsors. I have to mention two. One's kind of funny, and I want to get you guys' reaction. The first one is Calitren. Calitren is seriously a fountain of youth in... Wait, there you go. Fountain of youth in the bottle. Seriously. For guys who have heartburn or guys that want to lose weight, but you want to look younger and sleep better, think clearer. This is a collagen supplement, and I've been taking it for a couple of years. I love it. So want to mention that. But all right, before we get back into sports, the product of the month is a bidet. I found this bidet and I love it. Why don't we have bidets in America?
Are you talking about a toilet seat bidet?
Yes.
Or an actual bidet?
A toilet seat, but it's an attachment under $50, and you put it on your toilet seat, takes 5 minutes to install, and you have a spa for your bum. It's awesome. And you can go to My Michelle Live and click the link and get your
own. So this isn't the one with the rotating sander or whatever.
No, but if you go to other countries, guys, even in the public restrooms, they have bathrooms with toilets that wash, dry, and gift wrap you. And here we just have scratchy toilet paper. Come on. Don't tell me we're an advanced nation if we can't even have clean bottoms. Boom. I said
it. True confession here, that this was when we moved into our house last year. It was the first thing that I told my wife that I wanted to get. It's a splurge item, but what you're talking about is a great deal at that price. We bought the one that has it built into the toilet seat and everything, and it takes more than 5 minutes to install.
Yeah.
But this works as well.
It is amazing. Under $50. Seriously, under $50. And you've got a spa for your bum. So there you go. Guys, I wanted to get...
It made things simpler last year when everybody was loading up pallets of toilet paper.
Yeah. <for sure>.
No. No kidding, I'm telling you. So guys, I want to face off on a couple of weird stories, and then we'll get into things like the NFL. There's some big stories ongoing there, but let's do a little face off.
Everything you need to pack into the weekend.
That's not what we wanted to do. I like that though. That was fun. Why isn't it doing that? Come here. No, it's not. Big voice guy, come on.
It's hard to find good help.
Everything you need.
He's already gone for the weekend, but we're going to face off and talk about these weird but true stories. Did you hear about the MMA fighter that lost
like a
little
setup for a joke?
Yeah, right.
Two MMA fighters walking.
This is no joke.
He's lost a little something in the ring, Rich.
Fighter from Russia. Fighting in one of the MMA minor leagues Thursday night in Philadelphia, lost a finger in the midst of his match.
Literally.
And had to have it surgically repaired and put
it was back literally in place. It was literally lost. Like they couldn't find it.
And the public address announcer even made an announcement to fans.
I'm sorry, I just snorted on air.
That was snort worthy.
To be on the lookout for the missing digit.
Do you get a prize? Everyone check under your seat. And whoever finds
Well, right after they all went, they went to the secondhand store.
Right.
Oh, put a choom. Guys, no, seriously, true story. This finger, you can see it's wonky. I literally got it cut off once. And, you know, I didn't have to have it surgically, you know, attached. I went to the hospital and they just said, oh, yeah, that cut off. And they just stuck a bandage on, sent me home. And, yeah, and now I have a little, so I can't like point at someone because it kind of goes like this, but you know, so I think I handled it as well as an MMA fighter. Just
you
saying.
Can play the part of a wicked witch with the pointed finger.
There you go.
Well, it's better than having to find it in your glove later.
That was the weirdest part. Oh, there it is.
I knew I was missing something.
How did it happen? I mean, honestly, do they know how that, I mean,
well, how it happened, based on the article that I read and some other research that I was able to do, it happened in the midst of one of the ground and pound attacks, and the finger was basically pinched off. The simplest explanation that I can give.
I think it got
dislocated first, and there probably was a lot of pain involved with that. And he did, but he didn't stop fighting, and so then it just got worse.
Moving on
not
to
good lunchtime conversation.
Moving on to another not so good for lunchtime conversation is the Satan shoe. Have you guys heard of that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a streetwear firebrand Mischief put out this Satan shoe. They were going to have a limited run, 666 pairs. It was co-branding with Lil Nas X.
A rapper,
of course, and one of his songs, which is really foul in a lot of ways. I'm just going to be straight. It has real human blood in it, a pentagram on the front, and Nike actually won the lawsuit within 3 days. Filed it 3 days. It's been pulled back, and they said, "Yeah, we don't want that associated with Nike," which I was really surprised. And I want people to understand what this is. Does it have a Nike swoosh? Yeah. So what's going on here? Imagine if you have a car and you aftermarket, they call it pimp it out, you know, and you get a new engine put in, you get a kit for the outside. It looks a little different, but it still has the Ford symbol on the back. You can resell the car. Ford doesn't usually have anything to do with it. Nike didn't complain when there was a Jesus shoe with holy water that was marketed a while back in the heel so you could walk on water. But this was going over the line for Nike, and I was really amazed that Nike cared.
Yeah, Nike should get some points for at least caring about the right thing at the right moment in this case.
And I'm glad that they did say something, but at the same time, that is their business, and so they should say something. But my attitude with this type of thing, because I think Christians can tend to get really up in arms about
in
these types
arms
of things.
About it. But bring and, it to us, Reverend
me,
of
let
sports.
Me say,
come on.
And a lot of people may disagree with me here, but I think when you draw a lot of attention to something, then it does exactly that. It brings it attention. Whereas if you just ignore it, right? If you ignore it, then it'll probably just disappear, go away. 666 people will own them, and then that will be the end of it. Now, I do think Nike did the right thing, and I completely agree with what they did, but I don't know. I just don't.
It's their business. They can do as they wish.
There's this type of thing happening all over. Right.
Garrick, guys, weigh in on this, but I support you in that, Garrick, that, you know, these kind of things are happening, and we can say, well, we're going to freak out. But you know what? As foul as Lil Nas's video is, as much as it really gives glory and praise to more of a satanic mindset. There's also on his website and associated with this shoe, a biblical account of Satan being cast out of heaven. And I just want to put this in the minds of people along the lines of what Garrick said. God's word It does not return void. It goes out and accomplishes exactly what God intended it for it to do. So, the scripture's there, and maybe it'll get people thinking. In the meantime, those shoes ain't going to make you play any better, boys. So there you go. Yeah.
I think one more thing too, that I like to remember in situations like this, it's a real simple saying, but I try to remember it when somebody does something that's like so overtly offensive, is that hurt people hurt people. And in reading about this guy, it's clear that people who call themselves Christians did and said things to him that wounded him a lot.
Yes.
And regardless of the issue.
Regardless
of the issue that you're dealing with, if it's not approached with some level of grace and some level of approaching it the way Jesus did, you're going to cause people to pull further within themselves and then lash out. And that's, I mean, if you read his comments, that's exactly what's going on here. So, I mean, the shoe, it's like, yeah, there's some shock value there, but it's like, this is clearly someone who was wounded and mistreated. And so there's some empathy there for this guy too. And this isn't, the response to it isn't going to help anything, but.
Okay, there you go. And I know, Garrick, you have to go pick up your wife from the airport. So we have some limited time. He looks excited, like, I want to see my girl. I get ya. Let's move on to the NFL. I know this is another kind of too weird, but it's true. Deshaun Watson has more accusations against him. And yet, others are saying, well, he's such a nice, polite guy. Two things can be true at the same time, people, just saying. So that's another weird story. And I also wanted to get into some of the NFL. We're looking at 17-game season this year. Woohoo. There's some neat things happening within trading and people are settling in. We're finally getting the teams that we're going to be playing this year. Let's take it on. Let's start with Rich Hallstrom.
Well, first of all, we have to say congratulations, Seattle Seahawks, for giving Tyler Lockett a much needed contract extension. And then also Gabe Jackson gets a brand new 3-year deal for the Seahawks. So he is going to be on the offensive line here to stay for a number of years. Great job by John Schneider and Pete Carroll to put their ducks in a row. The 17-game season for the NFL, all about money and all about getting more eyeballs involved in watching more NFL games. Unfortunately, I'm not going to buy Amazon Prime to see those extra games and see those games on Thursday night. The one negative thing about the 17-game season, it's going to take away a home game. And that's going to be big for Seahawks fans. Take away one home game. I mean, guys, you should have just bit the bullet and made it 18 games. That's what you guys want to do. The Canadian Football League already plays 18 regular season games. Let's not throw the let's not put the mask on and pretend this is about anything else but the dough.
All right.
Did you say something about masks?
Yeah.
Yeah, The 17-game season just seems strange, and I wonder, if this is just – I mean, I know that the NFL had the ability to just kind of impose this, and I'm wondering if this is just to give them some bargaining power, say, look, we could have gotten 18 games, but we went 17, so we were being nice to you. I'm not opposed to replacing a preseason game with a regular season game. NFL preseason games, once you get your one game and seeing the young guys in, the rest of them are kind of a joke, especially – when you are charging fans full price for entry into these games. So if you're going to make people pay for it as though it's a regular season game, you might as well just make them regular season games. Every other year you'll get a night home game during the regular season. So yeah, I don't know. I guess I'm just kind of overall just kind of ambivalent about the whole thing.
Okay. Hey guys, it's getting to that time and Garrick's biting at the bit to go and see his wife. I get you. So we're going to go to take our final shot.
Final shot.
And our final shot, we go around the round table and give a shout out. Garrick, let's get to you so you can get to your bride.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. I've been away from her for over a month. And so I'm really excited to have her back. She just flew back from Italy. And so her flight has landed.
Her arms tired.
Yes, they are. So I'm going to give kind of one of those weird shout outs. My final shot actually goes to the Giants bullpen because they made my evening last night. They certainly really had a tough go of things, but as a Seattle Mariners fan, it made me very happy. So my final shot goes to the Giants bullpen.
Got it. All right, let's go to Brent Baker.
So I will give my shout out to John Schneider and his approach to the free agency for the Seahawks. They went through the first few days, and there are all these big free agent signings. Everybody's freaking out. How are you going to make Russell Wilson happy? This, that, and the other thing. Every year, they're very patient in free agency. They let the big ticket items go most of the time. And then they sign some players, maybe not to the hugest contracts, but guys who will give them a lot more value per dollar than if they had jumped in early. So now they have, I think an upgrade on their offensive line and an upgrade at tight end. It should be an improved situation for Russell Wilson, at least his mindset. And, it seems like we've heard a lot fewer rumors now that these moves have been made. So that's my shout out here.
Rich Hallstrom.
All right, let's go to the world of women's basketball one more time. For the first time in history this week, Player of the Year honors went to Paige Beckers from UConn, a freshman, the number one recruit out of high school last year. First time to ever be given to a freshman the Player of the Year honors in NCAA women's basketball, Paige Beckers of UConn, and she gave credit to God for that award and for UConn's performance so far in the NCAA tournament.
Amen and amen. And I'm just going to give
a bonus.
Yeah, bonus.
There's a little bonus there. She and Gonzaga. I was going to say she and Gonzaga's Jalen Suggs have a pretty cool relationship going back to their high school days, and have really actually been like encouraging each other through the tournament from their bubble sites. So that's been a fun story to follow.
That is fun. And watching the Final Four, that's my shout out. Texas two-step with Baylor and Houston will be playing tomorrow. And then I believe it's 5:30, right? Encyclopedia, Rich, 5:30, 5:34.
Yes, ma'am.
UCLA Bruins. Yes, ma'am. And Gonzaga Bulldogs, go Zags. And hey, thank you for being part of My Michelle Live. Like us, share us, support us. Go to My Michelle Live, get some of the, buy some of the stuff from our affiliates. It helps supports what we do. And what is that? We spread the God story. Hey, God bless you. Have a great weekend. Happy Good Friday and happy Resurrection Day. Remember, Jesus has risen. He's risen indeed.
Indeed.
There you go. The pastor got that one right. I appreciate it. Hey, guys, thanks again for joining us today.
Safe travels, Garrick.
Thank
yeah.
you.
Say yeah. Hi. I'm going to find our
sport. Right.
I'm going to, I was trying to find our sports time out because Big Voice Guy he's already off for, I guess, the weekend.
So. He has laryngitis for the weekend.
I know what the heck. I think I work him too hard, guys. I don't know. What do you think?
For more fun, go to mymichellelive.com.
Woo! All right.
Woo!